Welcome to Southern Living Magazine, brought to you by OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Angela Odie, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the July 2019 issue of Southern Living. Please enjoy. From the travel section, Gulf Hideaway, Hale and Ben McCollum revived a tired old cottage in St. Teresa, Florida, to spend their weekends waterside, by Emily Raffield. Anywhere with water would do, a river, lake, or ocean. We weren't looking for extravagance, just something that was down to earth and easy to manage, says Hale McCollum, who grew up sailing in the Northeast. Her husband Ben, a Thomasville native, had spent summers visiting family friends in St. Teresa, Florida, and the couple was seeking a spot where their sons, Parker, 14, and William, 11, could have similar life-on-the-water experiences. Close proximity was the deal maker. We wanted to be able to leave our house on Friday afternoons in time to catch the sunset. Just under 2 hours from Thomasville, St. Teresa was ideal. Located east of Apalachicola, this three-mile stretch of beach maintains a rustic, genuine panhandle culture, a slow counterpoint to many fast-paced, condo-laden coastal areas. St. Teresa still clings to an old Florida lifestyle, where everyone has a love for the natural world, shared fishing piers, and an appreciation for utter simplicity. This is also why it's nearly impossible to find property available. We checked the real estate listings weekly, but nothing was ever there, says Hale. Then, one day, a rare for sale sign was spotted. She remembers Ben called and said, "Hale, I found a house. You need to drive down and see it." So I went right away. It was a mess, dark and overcome with years of being forgotten. It needed a big effort, but when I walked down our skinny beach path and stood at the gulf, I knew we had to be here. Both old house lovers, Hale and Ben fell for the history of Why Not, the 1939 cottage built and nicknamed by its original and only other owners, the Hannon family. Some people said it was a teardown, but to us, it just needed vision, says Hale, who turned to her white paint strategy as the cure-all. We did only what was absolutely needed, she says. Most of the furniture came from storage. The tile was bought at Lowe's. The back porch's farm sink once belonged to the McCollum's Thomasville home. The family before us really knew how to live right. Now, when I give neighbors a tour through the house, everyone has an old tale to share. Usually, the story starts with rum cocktails on the back porch. We're certainly keeping that relaxed and festive spirit alive, she says. Here's how she updated this cottage but left it just right for St. Teresa. Enjoy meals fish camp style. Dinner depends on what we catch and what's in the local seafood markets that day, says Hale. To maximize space, this dining area is the only one in the home. In bad weather, the family eats in the entryway. Include a few beachy touches. We removed the stairwell spindles and replaced them with hardy manila rope, says Hale. I was leery of going overly nautical, but to my surprise, it added a playful texture to the house. Live in every inch. Hale maxed out the home's 2,200 square feet. The first floor includes the guest room, kitchen, den, and living room. The master bedroom, bunk bed room, and a bath are upstairs. The front and back porches are screened to keep out the area's infamous bugs. Make furniture multitask. Many new items we purchased stretched the space, says Hale. These oversized white sofas become twin beds when guests arrive. For everyday use, Hale covers the seat cushions in striped Serena and Lily towels that can be removed and washed after a messy weekend brought on by kids, dogs, sand, and wine. Sleep a crowd. Choosing twin beds for a guest room is the only way to go. They accommodate any dynamic. My kids' friends, work colleagues, comfortably, says Hale. We've had 12 or 14 guests spend the night. Kids usually end up on a blow-up mattress out on the porch when every bed and couch is full. Decorate with hand-me-downs. On the screened back porch, Hale hung a sign saved from the Hannon family, painted with the name of the house, Why Not, over a cast-iron sink that she salvaged from her own 1850s home in Thomasville. It's great for everything from cleaning fish to deveining shrimp to filling dog bowls, says Hale. Charm with the basics. Hale wanted the kitchen to have an approachable spirit like the rest of the home. The floor is blue schoolhouse linoleum. Nothing can hurt it. White Formica countertops, circle finger pulls, no hardware, and an analog range are all nostalgic and inexpensive. Get to know St. Teresa. This community was first settled in the late 1800s, and many cottages date back to the 1940s and are still owned by the original families. Most folks have been living or coming here forever, but one thing remains the same. You'll never feel excluded. Staying for a while? Rental homes are the only lodging option here. Look through sites like Airbnb.com and VRBO.com to find houses to rent by the week. Stopping for a bite. Great local dining spots include Angelo and Sons Seafood Restaurant and Tropical Trader. Shop local fish markets for freshly caught grouper, snapper, and Gulf shrimp. Each market sells smoked fish dips like Mineral Springs Seafood's Hot Mess, made with smoked salmon, tuna, and cobia. Head to Crumbs Mini Mall to pick up odds and ends. From the Travel and Culture section, your guide to the South now. Long weekend, West Virginia stole my heart. Journey off the beaten path to the New River Gorge by Grace Haynes. Wild, wonderful. That's what you'll see on the West Virginia license plates zooming southeast down US 60 from Charleston. The farther you go, the thicker the Appalachian forest grows. Train cars filled with chunks of ebony coal chug on weathered tracks that run along the highway. Winding country roads tightly hug steep canyon walls. The landscape ahead begins to clear. Turn right onto US 19, and a green sign introduces the Western Hemisphere's longest arch bridge. The wooded walls drop suddenly to reveal a deep, wide canyon beneath, an ancient river running down below. Grip the steering wheel with your head on swivel and marvel at a landscape that was millions of years in the making. The New River is one of the oldest on the continent. In the southwestern corner of West Virginia, where mining towns once flourished, this waterway is now a prime destination for outdoor adventurers. The New River Gorge National River was named a national park in 1978 and includes 53 miles of the river and 70,000 acres of surrounding wilderness. It sliced through the Appalachian Mountains, carving the range's deepest and longest gorge, which is even taller than the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. Scenic paradise. As the river slithered through the mountains, it exposed coal-bearing rocks, leading to a mining boom in the late 19th century. The completion of the West Virginia section of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railway in 1873 revealed this undisturbed pocket of nature to the rest of the country, and it didn't take long for outsiders to realize it offered more than just fossil fuels. The same torrent that sculpted a trail of coal mines also created a nature lover's dream, with some of the best rock climbing and whitewater rafting in the entire country. Driving across the New River Gorge Bridge, the longest steel span in the Western Hemisphere, and third highest bridge in the U.S., you'll begin to understand how massive this wild, wonderful West Virginia wilderness is, as the lush forests and rushing water stretch endlessly to the horizon. Extending 3,030 feet across and elevated 876 feet over the New River, the bridge was completed in 1977, turning a 40-minute crisscross along mountain roads into a one-minute drive to the other side. The imposing steel structure beckons daredevils on the third Saturday of October, when professional jumpers take the nearly 900-foot leap and parachute to the New River below. This festival is held one day a year, but Bridge Walk leads brave-hearted visitors on guided catwalk tours beneath the structure year-round. Travelers who fear heights can still enjoy an up-close look at the bridge. The Canyon Rim Visitor Center offers unobstructed views from its treehouse-like boardwalk, nestled in the woods on the wall of the gorge. Whether you're hiking or biking, explore the scenic paths along the river. The endless wall trail winds through a shady forest, across a rocky creek, and between wild rhododendron bushes. When you reach a spot called Diamond Point, stop and take it all in. A panoramic vista almost 1,000 feet above the river. Or take the Long Point Trail to snap the ultimate photo of the New River Gorge Bridge. If you'd prefer to pedal, rent a bicycle from one of the local outfitters, New River Bikes or Arrowhead Bike Farm, and hit the trails around Fayetteville. Head out on the 12.8-mile Arrowhead Trail. Its single-track paths weave bikers through Jurassic Park-like terrain. With vibrant green ferns and leafy treetop canopies enclosing the rocky rolling hills. After your ride, take a break at Arrowhead Bike Farm for beer and bratwurst in the casual backyard beer garden. Camping out. Outdoor fun doesn't have to end at sunset. Perched on the rim of the New River, adventures on the gorge will bring back memories of childhood summers spent at camp. A village of wooden cabins and pavilions dotting a 1,000-plus-acre property, this resort is just a few minutes from the bridge. Snooze under the stars on the campgrounds. Book a budget-friendly bunkhouse or rent an entire home. When people ask me what I do, I tell them that I run a fun factory, says Dave Arnold of Adventures on the Gorge. Our slogan is, leading the world outdoors, and that's what we do. The resort offers its thrill-seeking travelers a range of guided activities, from rafting on world-class whitewater courses and aerial adventures on zip lines, to rock climbing and mountain biking. River rafting. Don't leave without booking a rafting trip on West Virginia's famous brand of white water. Sandwiched between two dams, the 53-mile stretch of the New River is divided into two sections. The upper's tamer Class 3 rapids are countered by the forceful hydraulics and powerful currents of the lower's Class 4 and 5. Suit up in a helmet and life jacket, grab a paddle, and have a seat on the edge of the hulking inflatable raft. As you voyage down the waterway, take in the towering canyon walls surrounding it. You might even spot an overlook from a previous day's hike and gape at the colossal New River Gorge Bridge as you glide under it. Hang on tight as your raft enters a roiling rapid with waves crashing over the sides of the vessel while soaked passengers paddle frantically through the strong current. The fleets of rafts cheer each other on as they venture along the course. This convivial spirit surpasses any competition between rival outfitters on the water. Aside from leading safe excursions, the guides work hard to accomplish another goal, sharing their love and knowledge of the New River. Arnold says, "In 1972, I fell in love." He means with West Virginia. The Cincinnati, Ohio native moved to the area as a college grad with a pre-med degree. After guiding and running the river, I asked myself if I really wanted to spend 6 to 7 years at medical school, he answers. The answer was no. So, Arnold and three partners founded their own whitewater rafting company, Class 6 River Runners, that same year, an operation that started out with nothing but six rafts, a truck, and a trailer to haul them, and an office that was housed in a 1956 Safeway trailer evolved into Adventures on the Gorge. My wife and I lived in a tent where the pool is located today, he says with a laugh. Have dinner on site at Smokey's Steakhouse. White string lights coil around the rafters of this timber frame pavilion, which feels like a dressed-up camp dining hall. Or request a table on the deck to watch a sunset over the gorge. Open seasonally from mid-May through October, Smokey's serves upscale fare in a casual setting. Order a stick-to-your-ribs entree, like a plate of pit-cooked barbecue or apple-brined boar belly. You'll need to refuel after a long day of play. Then, cap off the evening with live music at the open-air Rendezvous Lodge. Cool small town. For a break from the wilderness, drive about 4 miles from the resort, cross over the bridge, and turn left onto South Court Street. A faded green sign reads, Fayetteville, recognized as one of the coolest small towns in America. Spend the day in this hip, eclectic Appalachian village to find out how it earned that distinction. Fayetteville once thrived as a coal mining hub, but the decline of that industry didn't drag down the town with it. The tight-knit group of locals is made up of lifelong residents as well as transplants who fell in love with the area. To revitalize their community, business owners shifted economic gears to what they know best, the New River and its natural playground, sharing their beloved corner of the state with visitors. The historic one-stoplight downtown welcomes tourists with distinctive shops, bed and breakfasts, and restaurants. Spend a fun afternoon bouncing from one red brick storefront to another along the main drag. Hit Waterstone Outdoors, a Fayetteville fixture since 1994, selling all the gear you'll need for your trip's itinerary. Before an afternoon of hiking, stock your backpack with homemade trail mix from the Ben Franklin, a mainstay on East Maple Avenue for over 50 years. Local gems. At the historic Morris Harvey House Bed and Breakfast, innkeeper and Fayette County native Bernie J. Cania Jr. welcomes guests to a 1902 Queen Anne-style home that's walkable to downtown. Sit with him at the dining table over the breakfast he's prepared for a house full of guests and listen to a decade's worth of tales about the B&B. Everyone here has a story about how West Virginia stole their heart. My fiancé and I fell in love with this place because of the close community and its positive mindset, says Mariah Ritterbush. It has the opportunity to grow because the culture is all about a shared passion for adventure and the outdoors. The town's growth can be seen in its food scene. Word has gotten out about local favorite Secret Sandwich Society. Diners get a kick out of the politically themed menu. Order the meatloaf-based McKinley or exercise freedom of choice with the Build Your Own Lincoln. Bands play above the restaurant at The Grove, which feels like a funky green room from the 70s. Kick back at Bridge Brew Works, pouring its namesake Bridge Brew Ale and other selections from an open-air tap room. Try the original Pies and Pints for pizza and beers. Cathedral Cafe for breakfast, lunch, or dinner beneath the vaulted ceilings and stained glass windows of this former church, and the Southside Junction Tap House for small bites and a slew of local craft beers. Catch the best view of the sunset over tacos at the Burrito Bar at Breeze Hill. Maybe more than any other place, the station reflects this little town's community spirit. Area builders helped transform what had been a greenhouse and printing press into an upscale eatery and popular gathering spot. Make a dinner reservation to enjoy farm-to-table fare and craft cocktails showcasing the region's fresh flavors, dishes like pan-seared rainbow trout with vegetables. While you wait for your table, grab a stool at the bar and join locals who are swapping stories about the day's happenings on the river, cliffs, and trails. Brothers Adam and Nathan Harold co-own Bridge Brew Works with Ken Lynch. Adam is just another Fayetteville native who left town but later heard the New River calling him home. People may go out west, he says, but they always seem to find their way back here. From the home and garden section, beautiful spaces, inside and out. Garden design. Late bloomer. It took over 40 years and lots of pluck and patience to create, but this Berea, Kentucky garden now bursts with flowers, koi, and endless inspiration. By Roberta Damon Hershon. A pie-shaped, one-acre lot in an empty field. A steep slope. No close neighbors. These factors would deter many prospective homeowners, but Mary Startsman was smitten. I wasn't thinking about the house we had to build. I saw a sun-drenched garden with endless possibilities. Little did I know there was so much shale. It took years to amend the soil, she recalls. Her goal was to create a pesticide-free, low-maintenance, organic garden with as little grass as possible. She began in her backyard with a bright blue gate made by a local artisan, surrounded by a boxwood hedge. It's taken more than 4 decades, but a dense, vibrant garden now fills that area, even spilling into the front yard. Anytime the temperature is above 40 degrees, Startsman, now retired from a career in banking, and her 4 dogs are outside in the garden. It's her private arboretum, stress reliever, and creative outlet. She thinks of her many flower beds as living art, where she combines colors, textures, and shapes. Her inspiration? Childhood visits to her aunt's gardens in South Texas. Inside the house, her husband, Gene, a retired professor, watches from a window as she presides over all her flowers. Startsman says, "If I can do this, anybody can. It doesn't have to take a lot of money. Start small, create it piece by piece, and don't be afraid to change things. If plants aren't thriving or no longer work, try them in another location and see what happens. That's part of the fun. Here are her best ideas to get your garden going. Create viewpoints. Picture your garden as a blank canvas. Look out each window of the house and think about what you want to see. Find focal points in the yard, like a splendid tree or structure, to anchor each area. If they don't exist yet, build some. Repeat garden colors inside the house to help seamlessly integrate the interior with the exterior. Incorporate objects, too. Startsman uses vertical forms, like the many birdhouses, the treehouse, and plantings on the pergolas, fences, trellises, and arbors, to not only lend height and places for eyes to rest, but also to provide year-round visual interest, which is especially welcome in the winter. She also mounts mirrors and sets gazing balls on stone pillars to make smaller areas appear larger. Engage the senses. Paths set the pace of a walk around the garden. Materials also matter. She uses rough gravel for the satisfying crunch underfoot. Flat walkways quicken one's steps. Winding routes encourage visitors to meander, discover hidden areas around a bend, and take in the surroundings. The sound of water gurgling in a fountain, the fragrance of blooms wafting in the air, and the sight of tomatoes ready to be picked. Be resourceful. A discarded door picked up on the side of a road and rusty bed frames occupy prominent places as whimsical art in Startsman's garden. A non-working antique light fixture, scored at a flea market, hangs above her koi trough. An old metal gate divides the sunny part of her floral display from the shady part, and fallen logs woven into a rustic pergola are adored by visitors in addition to the squirrels and birds. Spread the wealth. When plants become overcrowded, divide them and swap with friends. It's a simple and economical solution to maintain order and share the bounty. It's also a fantastic way to enhance an existing garden, experiment with color combinations, or try something new for free. Startsman was the beneficiary of a sweet clump of Indian pink, a native wildflower that she now gifts to fellow gardeners. Make it a hangout. Startsman emphasizes that a garden is about more than plants, a table and chairs for al fresco dining, a fireplace for warmth and cooking, spacious benches, and thoughtfully placed light fixtures are practical additions. She also believes it's important to care for the pollinators and other animals that inhabit our world. Clean water in bird baths, well-stocked feeders, vegetation left intact to provide food, and places of shelter not only sustain wildlife, but also give her pleasure as she watches the seasons unfold. Mary Startsman's most spectacular flowers. Over the years, she's developed a few favorites. Raspberry Wine Bee Balm. Part of the mint family, it grows well in full sun or partial shade and spreads quickly with easy-to-control, shallow roots. golden splendor lily, producing 12 to 20 flowers that are 6 inches long and grow on 4 foot tall stems. It blooms in mid to late summer in sun or partial shade. It's more drought tolerant than its relatives. Shocking lily. This fragrant lily hybrid, known as an Orion pet, is a cross between Oriental and trumpet lilies. It is an early bloomer that features large, showy flowers. Mealy cup sage. Pollinators love this heat-tolerant plant with blue or white blooms. Hot lava coneflower. Flaming orange-red petals lend jaunty pops of color. Spider flower. This dwarf to soaring annual in white, pink, or lilac delights each year. For repeat blooms, check when buying to ensure seeds are not sterile. Sprinkle seeds directly into soil. Tropical hibiscus, a fast-growing annual that thrives in warm weather. It is ideally grown in pots so it can be overwintered indoors, or you can just replace it each year. Silk Road Lily. This Orion pet lily has eight-inch flowers on 4 to 6 foot tall stems. Plant it in a sunny spot that has good drainage and is shaded by the leaves of neighboring plants. Ville de Lyon Clematis. Clematis is a prolific climber with magenta flowers that have pale yellow stamens. Prune it in early spring, just above buds that are a few inches from the ground. Southern Journal, keeping it real. The true soul of the South can't be slapped on a bumper sticker, by Rick Bragg. I saw a tag on the back of a big SUV that proudly claimed its driver to be Southern. I think this would be a good thing for some of my kinfolk, the ones who are still drinking in case they wake up one morning after a 12-pack, having forgotten in which region they went to bed. I understand the need to stamp it onto metal. It can be confusing these days. I saw about 10,000 people at the grocery store searching for yogurt, passing up a perfectly good rack of pork rinds. I saw sleds for sale in the window of a hardware store in Birmingham. Hardly anyone makes cornbread anymore, even from a mix. And they wear John Deere hats just to appear ironic. I saw a great sign painted on a skyscraper advertising professional hockey in Tampa. It must take a lot of Frigidaires to make an icy spot that wide in the Florida heat. My point is that the South has changed so much that some people feel they will just float away, perhaps to New Jersey, and some try to anchor themselves with cliches, clutching at magnolias. My people never had much luck with magnolias. Our South grows from a stone garden, the cemetery where we have buried the treasure, the answer to what Southern is. Some of the names have worn away, but not their language. It sings up from the ground. My Uncle John's daddy, Homer Couch, is here. He wore overalls every day of his life and used to scare us by taking out his teeth. He raised tall cotton and wide hogs and married a woman named Mag. He liked to say of shiftless men, "He ain't lazy, he was just born tired." When he died, the South shrank a little. Jimmy Sweat is here. He married my Aunt Sue, drove hot rods, and had the shiniest penny loafers I ever saw. Near the end of his life, his daughter Connie would take him to get fish in a box, though sometimes he seemed unaware. On one trip, he looked over at her and said, "Connie Sue, I just love your guts." He wasn't saying he loved her toughness, her devotion. He was saying he loved her guts. Jim Bennett would have understood. He drove a dump truck for my Uncle Ed, though not very well. He drove it right into a house, but wasn't fired. My Uncle Ed knew what a man's livelihood meant. "I love that man," Bennett once said of him. "I even love his guts, and the old belly that carries him." My Grandma Ava is here, though it is still hard to believe. Ava, who balled up her fist and shoved it under the nose of her husband after he'd had a few. "I'll knock you out in no water hot," she told him. I do not even know what that means, but it still beats the heck out of a cliche. When I forget who I am, I will wander in the weeds among them all till I find my way out again. Thank you for listening to today's Southern Living Magazine. This is Angela Otey saying goodbye from Al Radio, and have a great weekend.